In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today's Holy Gospel from St. John, at its very beginning, giving us the wedding feast at Cana, completes, if you will, this beautiful triptych that the Lord and Holy Mother Church sets before us in this octave, this reality of Epiphany. It begins actually with Epiphany itself and the manifestation of the three Magi who come and kneel before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Of course, he does not present himself as king. He does not present himself with power or might. But what they adore is not the power and the majesty of an earthly king, but the power and majesty of the one who rules the heavens and who rules the earth. And then the baptism of our Lord, which happens almost immediately after the celebration of Epiphany, where our Heavenly Father makes very clear who our Lord actually is and what is required of us in relationship with him. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Requiring from us that same posture of the Magi, where we kneel down before God and give him proper due and homage. And then it concludes with the wedding feast at Cana, where again the Lord manifests his own glory in this most beautiful and profound way. And it's not accidental that this triptych is completed in the context of a marriage, a celebration, precisely because marriage is that primordial sacrament that God put into creation at its very beginning to be mirror and manifestation of the love that he has for his creation, and that in the fullness of time, the love that the Father, that the Son would have for those he would redeem. And as it was for the Magi, as it was in our Lord himself, who manifested his own obedience to doing the will of the Father, so husband and wife, in a very clear and concise way, make manifest also the necessity of obedience in relationship one to another. Because of the beauty and richness and depth of our faith, there are so many things that might be said, but I do want to draw particular attention first to the sacrament of matrimony and its necessity in the world, and then specifically in the context of matrimony, the necessity of the virtue of obedience. I have celebrated three weddings this month, each of them unique in particular, precisely because the couples themselves are unique and particular. What they all have had in common is the couples have been young, which is an encouragement to me. Precisely because the world in which we live tells us to wait until we're better prepared, until we have full knowledge, until we have grown up or grown into whatever it is we need to grow up or grow into. And that waiting when we are young turns into waiting when we are older, which turns into some never getting married at all, and the beauty of matrimony having then passed them by. Why is this significant? Precisely because marriage, not only in its natural manifestation, but more importantly, in its supernatural rebirth in the mystery of our Lord, is necessary for the transformation of society and culture. You husbands and wives present here at Holy Mass live in such a way in your married life and then the family life you create, the obedience that is required of all of us. Obedience in its root to hear, to listen, but then to act and to do, to conform ourselves to the will and the things of God, by also then in like manner conforming ourselves to the state in life into which we have been drawn. The Lord chooses matrimony as that manifestation of himself at the very beginning of creation. Male and female, he created them, and husband leaves mother and father and clings to his wife. And they become one flesh, obedient one to another, as St. Paul says in his exhortation to the Ephesians. But that obedience made manifest in husband and wife is an obedience that all of us must manifest. At the conclusion of his exhortation into the Ephesians, when he speaks about matrimony, St. Paul says, I'm showing to you, I'm revealing to you this great mystery that is this sacrament. He uses marriage, as our Lord himself does, as our Heavenly Father does, to make clear to us what is required of all of us. This is now in the dispensation of God's divine love for us, obedient to him. An obedience in the flesh that leads to much deeper obedience in the spirit. But this is a churlish and fractious and disobedient age in which we live. It is fomented by Satan, who whispers in our ears over and over and over again, you can do what you want, when you want, how you want, with whomever you want. There are no repercussions, and if there are, you can kill them and destroy them and dispense with them. You are free, unencumbered. That's what Satan whispers to us. And all that lie has done for us, brothers and sisters, is corrupt us at our very being. And all of us are susceptible to this lie. We might think, oh, I'm inured to the world in which I live. I don't listen to outside sources, but it is so powerful and so subtle and so insidious that it seeps into every aspect of our lives. And sadly, has seeped into the very fabric of the church herself. She has become unmoored to the foundation that is Christ himself. She has chosen to buy in to the spirit of the age and has told us we're free. We're unencumbered from sin. There is no sin anymore. God is completely merciful. Therefore, you're free to do whatever you want to do. It's a nice thing to hear. It is a sentiment that is tantalizing. And it's precisely because it is nice to hear and it is tantalizing that we should be suspicious of it. Because if you know in your own lives what sin actually does, you can see what it is doing to the whole world. The world, sadly, at its core, is a rotten place. Not in a colloquial fashion, but truly, it is rotten. There is something dead in the very essence of the human person. And it's because the human person refuses to bend his knee to the name of God and to be obedient to the things of Christ and Holy Mother Church. And sadly, she has few, if any, examples of what this obedience actually looks like. And there again is the necessity of good, holy marriages to be precisely that example that other people can look to see this is the fruit of obedience. The children that are born in that relationship, the family life that is created from that married life, and then how that family life and the blessing of those children then spills out into church and to society and to culture. In truth, Satan is very wily, but also very wise. Sadly, because he realizes to destroy mankind, I will strike where? At Holy Mother Church and her shepherds. And I will strike at the very heart, which is marriage itself. And in this two-pronged war, an attack on the human person, sadly, he has found some measure of success. We would say he is completely successful, but we know that is not true. Another lie told by the world in which we live. For the truth is this, Christ is victorious. And those who live rightly in Christ, with Christ, know of this victory. You too can share in the victory of Christ. And you share concretely in this victory through your obedience. Now, as I often say from this very spot, lest there be any confusion, the things that I preach to you, I do not always practice well. So I share them with you not because I have been successful in doing them. I share them precisely because I know the fruit or the detritus that comes from my failure. When I do what I want, when I pursue my own will, when I access my own desires, instead of always and only focusing on God, that only and always turns to the bad, to sin, to despair, to doubt, to frustration, to ruin. When I listen to God, when I'm obedient to God, when I give myself over to God, it is then that I find peace and joy, that I find satisfaction, especially in suffering and in sacrifice. And so we are blessed to be able to meditate on this triptych that is set before us, the Epiphany of our Lord, his baptism, and then now the manifestation of his glory, the first, John tells us, of the seven signs he will accomplish in John's gospel, happens at a wedding feast. We also then need to celebrate marriage. Yes, on a natural marriage. All marriages between one man and one woman is a good thing. But the better thing, the best portion, the good wine saved to last are those marriages that are consecrated in Christ, entered into as sacraments, and then for you husbands and wives, lived as sacraments. The gift of yourselves and the gift of your children, but obedience one to another, especially in difficulty, in strife, and in struggle.
The world will lie to you and tell you to walk away, to give up and to give over. But you come back again and again to be nourished here at the altar of sacrifice, and therein find your strength. And in that strength you go forth and you witness to the world. These signs that Christ manifests are to be clear to all of us who he actually is. The question we have to ask ourselves, brothers and sisters, is what more do we need from God? What more can we ask of God to convince us that we need to be obedient to God? What do you want? What can God give you? He's given you life. He's given you new life. He has poured out the Holy Spirit upon you. He remains captive in the tabernacle that you might see him and interact with him. He gives you his very self in most holy communion. What more could you ask from God? What is it you think you need or want that God has not bestowed upon you, that if he gave this to me, then I would be obedient? If you can answer that question, please let me know so that I can tell God this is what we need. In the meantime, let us accept from God that which he has given us and realize that what God has given us is indeed sufficient, beyond our comprehension, a gift that we could never have come up with on our own. Let's not be petulant children, complaining and whining because we haven't gotten what we want. Instead, let us rejoice that we have been given more than we actually deserve. And then recognizing that which has been bestowed upon us in obedience, let us bend our knees, more importantly, our wills to God, and do the things that God commands us to do. And then we too can get caught up in the signs of God. And maybe by his grace, be one of those signs for the transformation of the world. But let's be very clear, and let's keep this very simple. As St. Paul says in his exhortation at the very beginning of the epistle, you know what it is you need to do. Conform yourself not to the world, but to the things of God. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no, and do the things that God commands you to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.